conception of the idea. And then our first, it wasn't that long.
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing Dissolving the Divide podcast now?
How long has it been?
About 2 years?
Yeah. 2 years since the inception of the idea. And then our first, it wasn't that long. It didn't take us long to get the first one going.
No. Right? We got plenty of folks in network and other content creators that we've already done, you know, collaborations with, so.
Yeah, so we had the lineup. Pretty fast. It was fun.
What would you say in that time, in that 2 years time, like what are some of the biggest, like the whole concept of Dissolving the Divide is to find ways to kind of find the middle between the middle ground or what are some of those powerful things that have stuck in your head about that people have you've interviewed in terms of actually dissolving the divide?
It always seems to come back to the self-work, to the self. You know, you have to understand your own psychology, understand yourself, and see where you are tipping the scales onto one side of a polarity or the other, you know, and to learn what's pushing you or pulling you there, right?
Yeah.
And to understand your own psychology and then to see how that relates to what's going on in the world and then get bigger and wider lenses, right, of every subject to be able to see this dynamic of the push and pull and the two extreme poles and where is the truth? Somewhere that generally isn't, it doesn't necessarily mean it's in the middle, but it has to do with natural law and freedom and self-ownership and, right?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, what do you say?
Yeah, like you said, we've gone through this conclusion with so many guests already with it goes back to the self and all these things and doing the inner work and being able to put yourself in check and not being so divided within yourself and polarized, being able to, you know, synthesize and recognize, you know, truth and lies and all that stuff.
Yep.
And then take it to the more macrocosmic level and see how these things are played out, you know, between families, communities, you know, co-workers, whatever, and then, you know, just, you know, with certain ethnic groups or whatever, if you want, or, you know, whatever movements are out there. There's so many isms and schisms and all that jazz, right? So, yeah.
Yes. And I think it's a lot about being open to having a dialogue with an open mind and, I guess, you know, a willingness to learn and to hear another point of view, you know, to hold back.
And to suspend your belief system and what you already kind of know and just to allow the intake of another person's opinion that might go against yours. Wow. Mm-hmm. Has that ever happened to anyone ever? Really?
Happens all the time.
All right, here's another question. Can you think of anything that's kind of like changed your, I mean, obviously not totally changed your mind, but from the interviews you've done, can you think of any things that have changed your perspective or the way you see something?
Yeah, totally.
Dissolved maybe a divide you had in your own mind or something?
I think it's really deepened my understanding of the world just talking to all our guests.
Yeah.
You know, to each other.
Such great guests.
Yeah, yeah, like the tapestry of like how things are fitting together in the world and the themes that are playing throughout all things are just evident and it keeps expanding. It's really cool. Yeah, but in terms of specific content, the one we did with Indigo Angel on grid work lines and stuff.
That's
a little bit
non-stop
out, there. Right? Like, whoa, like, whoa, that's like hard to comprehend. Uh-huh. And so it's like there have been some things that will take you a little bit out of your known reality, your known comfort zone, right? So she's a good example of that, but she's brilliant. And it's, it for me, it puts, it just like, put together a lot of dots. It, you know, drew together some dots. I was able to see this cosmos in a clear way, you know, as a correspondent, a system of correspondences.
Yeah, and you know, with like Rodney Goodwin, who we've had on for like 4 times now doing astrology. I mean, obviously, you know, we're not the most read up on that, so yeah, we learn a lot through that, and also yeah, just the timing of, you know, these certain, you know, processions and, you know, solstice, equinox,
right, which
we've done in the past.
Yep.
And then like one of the more memorable shows we've had was with Jake Jackson.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's bringing forth, you know, blueprints of how we can really build this hermetically sealed society, as I like to say. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, a sovereign world, a yeah, way of being, and there's like you know, things that he goes over that can just transition from, you know, the state of, you know, under governance and slavery and all
statism,
that stuff,
mm-hmm,
to how, you know, it's in the end, it's all people, so
yeah,
there's always going to be people occupying said position and municipalities and infrastructure and all these things, right? So it can be done without the coercion of, you know, government taxation and all the other,
yeah,
thievery and
theft
all that,
and you know, violence. Yeah, I think
I like new vision. I like those.
Yes, yeah, you know, I like. I would think, thinking back to Nate Capps, it was one of our earlier,
ooh, yeah,
ones where he's really a specialist in this sacred symbolism and Freemasonic thought. And he, but I think in that one he was talking a lot about the hemispheres of the brain. Anyway, it's
Earth
really
brain,
deep.
Baby, yeah.
And it.
How much reads that, by the
yeah,
way?
Yeah. Yeah, but he, you know, he sort of was playing with these ideas, you know, in this talk we had on, you know, the importance of our own polarized brain system, left and right,
yeah,
hemispheres, and all the esoteric symbolisms. That one is a really good one to delve deep into, like the symbolic aspects of everything, and understanding natural law as a science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, since it's about 2-year anniversary, it's awesome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, things have like culminated of where I just see and hear people speak more of, and maybe it's just, you know, the that law of attraction where, you know, you're really into something and focused on something, having it on your mind all the time, it's going to pop up more and more. Kind of like if you bought a car and you'd see that model more often,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, right? So I don't want to put that, you know, confirmation bias in there, like, oh, we're making an impact and stuff, but I think
we're little by little getting,
yeah,
to be recognized as being podcasters and having this kind of cool concept and a really interesting way of having conversations with people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess my context was also kind of just breezing over YouTube and Odyssey, BitChute, and other content,
yeah,
creators and what they're making. You know, they mentioned the divide and conquer. You know, that's like the common phrase with a lot of truth speakers, actually. But you know, it just might be in context of a certain train of thought or whatever. But you know, the parts of the matter need to be delved in, like subject by subject, dialectic by that. And that's kind of why I had that vision in mind for the intention of this show, I guess, and to bring forth, you know, like more solution-based stuff instead of just going over and over the commentary and all that stuff, you know, so.
Yeah.
And that's not to put anyone down as if, you know, they're not coming up with solutions and we got it all fucking figured out. Of course not, you know, so yeah. But I hear these people and I want to get them on our show so we can hash some of these other, you know, concepts and ideas out more, you know. Just trying to inspire folks that are listening and also creating and stuff,
yeah,
you know. There's a lot of potential we got.
Yeah, we just really want to cultivate like a mature type of conversation dialogue rather than, you know, that explosive extremism.
Ah.
And maybe what we're doing is not as popular a style. Like, people like arguments and fist fights and extremes, but you know, that would be like the opposite of what we're trying to really promote. And
yeah, and that's why, you know, the algorithms don't favor our material, like a lot of other folks, Chris and all our community, I suppose, you know.
But I think it's okay. I think, you know,
we're against the sun, of course.
I think that I think truth you know, mind, body, spirit, thoughts, feelings, actions, if we are aligned to our message and embodying it through how we communicate and talk to our guests, that is more powerful and long-lasting and deep-reaching than using a bit like a one of those, you know, kind of like, what do you call it, where you just like do shit, stupid things and get attention?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, clickbait and arguing and all the drama stuff that people like. That's not what we want to promote or be like. I don't want to be like that. That's like the opposite of this real solution. So
yeah,
I just feel like if you're sincere and you stand your ground according to principle, then that's doing the right thing, and to know that that's having the right effect in the universe.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Just being a proper role model, that's really truly aligned and walking the walk with you know what we speak about.
That is the most important thing, and it has the greatest value. And if more and more people do that, that will turn the tide of everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Any more questions?
What a beautiful day, huh?
Yeah, I love the colors.
A little chamois trailer, but...
Yeah, Victor Ave has a really nice line of trees that turn red and yellow and orange when you drive up and down this road.
Yeah, so I guess even, you know, it's on my mind all the time, going on social media, posting whatever on Facebook and yada yada. It's like, I don't want to be looking and acting like a fool and all this stuff. Because, you know, with all the affiliates that we have now and Network and Chris with the One Great Warriors and all that, I don't want anyone to be, you know, thrown under the bus because, you know, someone thinks I did some bullshit, stupid, you know, things and whatever. There's going to be hecklers on the sidelines fucking regardless of what no matter what we do in life, there's going to be the haters. As you know, I've told myself, you know, to get over, you know, like, don't worry so much about what people think or say about you. You know, if you are aligned to your purpose and like not causing harm to anyone, a la, you know, objective morality and being a good human being, then I don't need to feel offended or whatever.
Or threatened by, ultimately. Although the truth is, there are people who do things that, you know, hurt others. I mean, ultimately, that type of thing couldn't cause harm. And that's what's short-sighted about
it. I'm curious if you guys have experienced a different level of confidence about who you are in the world since you started your show.
Definitely. Yeah.
Maybe you could explain to people how that works, because that helps, like, inspire other people to speak out.
It's hard to describe, but it's becoming more aligned. It's part of the alignment that I was talking about. And that when you recognize a principle or a truth, and then you feel a responsibility or know that you should do something, and then you choose to act on it, there's a lot of confirmations that come, and there's a lot of puzzle pieces that come together in a way. It's like, and you know, for me, it has felt like I'm on path, you know, and that it's allowed me to almost like step out of a limiting belief about who I was or an image of who I was, to then step into a potential that I'd never experienced before, seen myself as. But because I followed the heart, mind, followed by my action in that direction, it was like I stepped into my the next level of my cosmic template, you know, or my blueprint, right? It's alignment with natural law, and then it builds, and then all of a sudden you start to see yourself differently, and then it takes working on letting go of the fears and all those embarrassments or things that, you know, make you not want to do it, not be confident. So you have to be brave and do it. And then it helps a lot to have friends who are doing it.
Yeah, totally.
And to like support each other and teach each other and stuff like that. And to find your place, you know, and just become less afraid.
Ha.
Really.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Because, yeah, going back to what I was saying, like, you could do anything in life and someone's going to be giving you a hard time about it, possibly. if we're doing the right thing, you know, that's cool. We, and anyone can do whatever the hell, mediocre and all that jazz, but, you know, who's going to, you know, step up with the courage to, you know, go kind of against the grain of, you know, a lot of the clusterfuck of consciousness, as I like to call it, or like the Gordian knot of, you know, this, the entanglements of how, you know, the polarizations of in conditioning and mind control, brainwashing and stuff.
And then and then you get to see those patterns more clearly, so you're not as easily caught by them, and the knot becomes less affected. It doesn't affect you as much.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can witness the knot, you know, and you can see how it's all like playing with itself, right? And then, but we don't have to be as involved, and then you can see where you are still caught up in that machine. Right,
and where step away from the fray,
right? Like figure out plans, and then you start to see how entangled you really are, and how you really are enslaved. And it's not so easy to cut away from it all. And there's consequences, and you have to think about it and plan and work with other people. And it takes, I think, a higher level of cooperation and emotional intelligence and self-control and discipline and care. Like than humanity's probably ever demonstrated before, and I think that we need to step up to that challenge.
How much time do you guys think it takes, like per week or something, to put together a podcast like what you've been doing? Because you got editing, video editing.
I mean, setting up the meeting. Let's say you're doing one. Let's say you're doing one. You want to do. It really depends on you.
I know, but you guys, like, how much time are you spending is what I'm saying.
That's different than the answer to your question. Because the answer to your question is, whatever time you can work in, do something. Pull out your phone and do a walk and talk, you know, to 5 minutes before you leave the house and start to collect them. You know, for me, I do things in bigger, you know, chunks, and I'm sort of motivated by deadlines and assignments, sort of kind of like, okay, like a fun like presentation for a conference or something, right? And then it becomes obsessive, and a lot of time, like my free time's taken into it, but lovingly, and, you
labor
know?
Of love.
Yeah, but then, like, let's say we decide to do a podcast, it's less time on me because I'm not doing all the editing and stuff, but I pretty much show up for like a 2-hour block and we get to decide again. Like you don't have a boss like telling you your hours and your time, so you get to decide and do it, figure out how to do it. And you know, he is doing the editing, I do some of my own editing, and but I'm not as advanced because I don't do it as much. But that's the time-consuming part, depending on how you approach it.
Right? Yeah, and depending on how I want to go about, you know, creating a little spicy intro for folks and considering the topic and all that jazz. Just concocting, like, a little 30-second intro or a minute. Sometimes it could take, you know, an hour or two, depending on what I'm looking. I might struggle to find something that fits. You know, I got to keep looking for some kind of clip. I'm looking for sometimes something that's funny, like a parody of, you know, this dialectic thing, you know, kind of like the the spiritual elitists, you know, like, oh, my retreat's better than yours. I'm in Hong Kong with Buddhist monks, you know, drinking.
Right.
All this shit, but.
Yeah, but that's not where you started. That's where you grew to and continue to expand, right?
Yeah, yeah, like I already have things already kind of set up, and I got a whole bunch of intro sequences of our logo stuff, so yeah, that's pretty easy. Yeah, just a lot of thoughts of even away from the computer, just mapping out how we're going to, you know, kind of like us today talking about, you know, the whole Great Work Warriors promo and stuff, and laying down templates and roll with it and see what ideas can spur from that, and
And it's like you can do different things. You could do your own, like, full-length videos, like, and educate people, or you could do, like, conversational things. You could just talk off the top of your head. You could partner with someone and do, like, a show together. You could interview people, you know, and some things you'll find come easier to you. Like, I really like the interviews. I just... I really enjoy it, and it doesn't feel that hard. I don't get stressed out before them so much. But if it's a presentation, it's a lot more laborious for me and stressful. So, but it's growth grows me.
But what, describe how you personally grow from the process of doing these things, even if you don't. It's good that you guys have published so much, but don't you
it's
think there's something
learning.
That can be learned even if you go through the process of...
Oh, yeah, always, yeah. I mean, we were just talking about how we were just learning about how to, you know, make a different type of photo style. And, yeah, it's like learning as we go along. And, you know, from all the hours I put in doing, you know, the video edits and all that stuff, I'm learning as I go as well. I don't even consider myself a pro, even though I've been doing it for, like, 12 years. I don't know, maybe it's because I don't have a professional job making money from that stuff, you know, but whatever. And but obviously they're more polished, and they can map out every single program or, you know,
and have different
option on whatever, you know,
different technologies
movie.
That you might not have to be able to afford, right?
And I'm learning a lot about our guests because, you know, I really want to showcase their works a little bit, or just their website and stuff, throw that, you know, part of the outro induction and stuff. And yeah, it's really impressive, just, you know, the amount of people we've had that have, like, great bodies of works and websites that some of them, you know, a lot of them actually provide services, you know. So, yeah, we definitely encourage people to check their works out. And that's also why I, on our tap link for Dissolving the Divide, at the bottom we have our list of all the guests where, you know, you can go check out their works directly there.
And another way that I think there's a lot of self-growth is just in facing the fears and the anxiety of doing it. Because anytime you do something that's new or hard, it grows you. It expands you. And then you also learn by teaching something and repeating something. You get to understand it at deeper and deeper levels. So the more that we have different conversations with different people in different ways, and the more that I take the chance of speaking out something, then the more I understand, and the concepts become more deeply embedded in my knowing, I guess, experience.
Yeah, getting familiar with the unknown, are we?
Yeah.
Making the darkness conscious?
Exactly.
Perhaps?
Yeah, bringing the spirit and material together, you know? It is.
Learning can be fun, and I feel like I've learned so much more cool stuff that applies to life in glorious ways outside of, you know, school and education.
Yeah.
Systems, right? You know, they don't even have, like, the Kabbalion as one of the... Imagine, you know, generations of kids having to do book reports on that.
And understand it in experiential ways.
The Trivium. For the next half year, we're going to work on using the Trivium. Hey, do me a favor, guys. Can you guys both smile?
Mm-hmm.
How about, like, a little...
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I used to be attracted to super fit women, but my taste has changed. Now I'm attracted to super moral women. That's right.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I said, you know the difference between right and wrong? Sexy.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
I said, you don't pay your taxes? That's hot. You don't ask government permission to collect your own rainwater? Grab your coat. I'm taking you on a steak dinner right now. I'm taking you out, ladies, if you're moral. Humanity's rising. Truth's rising. Not going to be stopped. Climate change may or may not be caused by plastic straws and cow farts. But I hope we can all agree that the solution is not higher taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep them low. These are people, our taxes fund the prisons, and they can't even keep the drugs out of the prisons. And you expect us to believe you're going to keep carbon dioxide out of the air? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Can't even keep the criminals across the borders as well, right? But truth is coming. Don't worry. Good news is coming. Anyways, the idea the left and right are different is going down. And just want to let you guys know on election day what I did, and I hope this comes a viral trend in the future. I took my election ballot, and I just took it in there. I wrote two big letters, capital M, capital E, and I just put that in the ballot box. Unfortunately, I did not become president of the United States. But I did earn some self-respect, so that's worth something, you know? Maybe next time as well.
Enlightened, seeing things I did not notice. Never touch my microphone with hocus pocus. Anything that we burst, nowadays, they notice. We bring them niceness, we bring reality in.
So, Derek, tell me,
we were talking about dissolving the divide, and, yes,
how'd you get going on that whole idea to begin with?
Our morning, little morning coffee talk.
Yeah, yeah, brother.
Coffee talk with Derek.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you already know the story of, you know, how Leslie and I kind of came about brainstorming that, just kind of indirectly, but, and all that, but, I guess, like, some of the underlying, motivational intentions I had as well was that like since the dawning of the Rona, and even a little bit before then, my mother has been kind of trolling some of the stuff that I would post on Facebook and this and that, and we'd get into kind of abrasive arguments, and it just wasn't good. And even when I was back visiting before she passed away, we had some just a lot of indifferences on a lot of stuff, and I was finding myself lacking proper communication skills and maybe some temperance behind it as well. And you know, I was able to correct some things and reconcile with her. But yeah, I was thinking like, damn, I mean, I wonder how many households deal with this kind of stuff. And like, what kind of conversations can we have as an alternative to the same wheel turning and just like, you know, fumes burning and, you know, people's frustrations and just the misconceptions, or a lot of it, people assume things, and especially if they're watching TV and they have an idea of what someone that looks up conspiratorial stuff, what they're going to be acting like, thinking like, and talking about. And we, and the television programming wants to lump us into one single fucking category, like a bunch of anti-vaccine, flat earther, retards, and all this stuff. And, like, sometimes they just put the foot down, and, like, for the mom, like, no, like, you don't even know your son as much as you could. You don't ask just, like these Socratic questions that we would talk about with the One Great Work Warriors and stuff. So I noticed I was kind of getting triggered from her, like, projections and assumptions onto me, just regarding, like, some things that were just common sense, some things that, you know, there's different degrees of all this programming and the lies fused with little bits of truth, with the lamestream, you know. So yeah, I had that in mind, and you know, I wanted my mom to eventually, you know, watch some of those and all that. But yeah,
we back in, I can't remember which year it was, I remember I wrote a little article called Avoid the Snake Pits. And it was because, like, Thanksgiving was coming up, and I'd previously just had a couple times where we had a family event, and, you know, it's like we're all sitting around a restaurant table or whatever, and somebody brings something up, one of those hot-button items, and there's been times when I've kind of put my foot in my mouth to an extent, because if you start talking about anything that's in the field of conspiratorial, you're usually looking at, like, a big picture kind of like dynamic that's not easy to define in a few words. And if you accidentally say something, you make some kind of conclusion, whether it's, oh, the chemtrails, or the president's rigged, or whatever. The people, general audience of who might be your family or friends, someone in that group is almost bound to have like an emotional type reaction and want to either shut you down or quickly change the subject or embarrass you so that what you're saying is not legitimized in any way, because it sort of threatens their well-being and their sense of comfort, and people don't like someone talking about scary things that they think are ridiculous because it rocks the boat. So
you challenging what they think they know already and their predisposed belief system.
Well, you said it. Assumptions, preconceptions. Yeah. Like imagination would be a great thing, but not when our imagination is being molded by other people's storylines, is what we got going on here.
Yeah.
And then you get comfortable with those storylines, and then it creates these snake pits that where someone like you or I could accidentally just say the wrong word at a gathering or a social event, and we're all of a sudden instantly ostracized, or the person who doesn't want to have that discussion sort of ostracizes themselves, and and then it just creates this divide. And it's all based on, like you're saying, imaginary things, trigger words.
Yeah.
And then even in the freedom community, I think that's the thing I heard Leslie talking about, where she just notices there's these certain little hot-button items that come through the mill of social media, and everybody's getting really reactive about them. And it's like 9 times out of 10, those things are not really the deciding factors that we're working towards solutions that are really going to make the difference of working in that light direction. Anyway, I'm going on too deep, but I was just really sympathizing with...
But those snake pits are deep, man, so yeah.
The snake pits is a good way to describe it. It's on the one hand, you want to teach people things and you want to bring up topics, but in the wrong scenario, we don't have time to fully explain it. It's a snake pit, because all it does is bring up a bunch of emotions, and then you don't have time to resolve it or explain what you meant.
And this has been... We see this being played out on social media, and mentioned this in previous shows, even with you, and on Dissolving the Divide, of just how people get triggered too easily. They have less of a buffer zone being able to speak to someone that's not even in the room, so there's less discrepancy or whatever, and you can see how people's discipline ain't always there, and just being cordial and like considerate to other people. I'm not trying to win a fucking argument. I'm just trying not to have both parties blow off. I'm kind of sick of hearing the whole... sorry, I don't say sick because I don't manifest that through my disgust, but you know what I mean.
Frustrated.
Yeah, and just
tired of hearing it.
We'll just agree to disagree and be on our merry way while there's still this little tension that is still kind of there, right? And people take inventory of these stuff, and it could get triggered later on. And what you mentioned earlier reminded me of emotional-based mind control that Mark Passio talks about. And those heartstrings get pulled hella easily, and that's part of the programming. And so that's why these hot button topics, they get triggered, and the knee-jerk reactions might catch you in the chin or whatever.
It's hard to stay objective when you are personalizing with something. And in a modern world, that's the thing we've noticed in these discussions so often. I think a lot of folks really struggle with the idea of objectivity even being a real thing, because if you think that reality is relative, or that morality is relative, that means that things could change from one moment to another. And if that's really what you believe on a deep down level, then you're constantly expecting the unexpected. There's no consistency to anything. And so when we're trying to say, no, there is consistency, these things are wrong inherently, and people are saying, no, there's no book that told me that, there's no authority that told me that, you're just making that up. Because we're all conditioned to only accept something as being the ultimate truth if it's well researched and there's some official authority entity that we can look to, and they can offer us their stamp of authenticity. But being able to do that deep down on a personal level is pretty hard if you don't really trust your own judgment. And what is that based on? A reality that's totally in flux, that anything can happen, and there's no necessarily right or wrong depending on whether humans decided that way. Well, you know, if you're living with people that have a completely different paradigm of what reality is made of, that creates all these snake pits. And is it worth it to climb into every single snake pit with every single person, or
with crabs in the bucket?
You know, like, I think that's where it really, the beauty of what you and Leslie do in the videos is you're approaching people that are putting content out into the world that are passionate about a topic, and just asking them some questions and getting that conversation going that hopefully would be the thought process that more people could objectively just follow along and think about without necessarily drawing every conclusion and take the different episodes into consideration and be able to have kind of a more balanced view of all these topics.
Yeah. And
I think that's a pretty cool thing you guys do.
Yeah, that, I appreciate you that. Know? Yeah, there's so much to consider. And yeah, it's like every guest, we're not going to agree with every single thing. We're not endorsing, you know, their work like it's the bee's knees and like that's all there is to it, of course. And, you know, I just take it as it is, from person to person, and celebrate the commonalities and not worry and get caught up on, you know, the imperfections and some of the things that might need corrections and all that. And we could take that to whatever level with, you know, going back to like family members and all that stuff. And you could just tell already, well, even if you don't even know, if they watch a lot of television. And, you know, it's like for the truthers, you know, it's like it seems like cliche for them to just be like, well, you don't know that. And like there's like already like a discord and like a talking down upon someone instead of taking, yeah, the Socratic approach and using that art of persuasion and making them question what they know and being able to speak about what you know and not be so attached to it and try to speak through that objective lens, like you're saying. And that's something that I learned quite recently, because I, you know, just having the show and trying to be on top of things and really understanding the Hermetica even more and things like polarity, because we talk about the polarizations of things so much. And you mentioned objective truth, and that's like objective reality, objective morality. And we're all in this collective consciousness, unconsciousness, and all this stuff. So, yeah, it's a clusterfuck of people not understanding karma, if you want, and just, like, what is a right, and what we do, what kind of behaviors can infringe upon the rights of others, a.k.a. causing harm, if you will, and understanding and embodying more that the divine feminine aspect of, you know, non-aggression principle, non-violent principle. And so with our subjective truths and the lens that we see through the, you know, our own eyes and how we relate to the objective world around us, that is how we resolve the paradox between subjective reality and objective reality. The more we align to objective truth and reality, we're not going to be polarized to the frays of, you know, these dialectics and the red and the blue, the left and the right, and but being able to distinguish wrong from right, because I don't see that as a dualistic thing. I mean, it could fall into that category because there's two things
for that.
Oh yeah,
the way I described that, what you're talking about right there, that paradox, right? It's almost like walking down a trail, and you mostly want to keep your vision kind of like right in front of you, so you're not tripping on rocks and sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Right directly in front of you. But if you don't like kind of raise your head every once in a while and kind of look, you can lose your way in the big scheme of where you're actually going. So you do have to kind of look up, notice the trail markers, and kind of take in the view every once in a while.
If there's a grizzly bear over there.
Right. And so that's kind of me kind of like looking at the big picture, putting things into context, and then... But day to day, like, it's usually like, what's the step right in front of me? What can I do to not fall down in my personal life and block the trail, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you look up and you're like, well, what about the rest of the world and what they're doing and how that's going to affect my path? You know, and it's like there has to be a balance of both things. If you just stare in front of you, you're not going to see the grizzly bear or the trail markers. And if you just look out and only look at it from a global point of view, you're going to be tripping.
Right? We got to stop and smell the roses or flowers and the wonderful herbs around that nature provides. So Enjoy and nature as well.
That's like the difference too. Like you're saying, that one phrase you brought up is, let's agree to disagree. That, I mean, like,
it's not the worst case scenario.
I found that to be very handy.
Yeah, sure.
In personal relationships, like me and someone I like, we're friends. We're having this deep conversation. We kind of get to this point where I'm telling them government slavery, and they're saying, "No, I still feel like I need government." And we kind of come to an impasse, and we have to say something like that sometimes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
but
yeah.
To me, that's like a really legitimate one-to-one way to deal with that situation is like, okay, for now, let's just have our own thoughts on that and not fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we're doing an interview or a discussion that's recorded, it kind of brings on that extra pressure of objectivity because there is this third objective audience in the room.
Right, and especially if we're trying to educate and all that
stuff. The two people to be a little bit more like, you know, I'm not going to cut you down. You know, that's what happens in, like, social media. Is like instead of what we would do is we'd look at the problem and then Trivium style we would take it apart, cut into pieces and inspect the pieces and maybe contrast them. But instead what people tend to do is try to cut you apart and break down you to say that there's no way that your message could be a good message because there's a problem with you. And that's a real, it's never going to get to the truth. All it's going to do is create infighting, and that's what we see in these circle jerk kind of discussions that aren't getting anywhere, you know. And so we're trying to offer like a legitimate way to have a contrast without turning it into finger pointing and cutting the person down, but instead cutting up the topic objectively,
you know? Yeah, kind of focusing on the messenger, not the message, and like focusing too much like, oh well, did he research this person that talked about this, you know, message or truth? And so there's the dick measuring contest and yada yada, and it's just ultimately where are people's heads at with all this stuff? It's not a competition, y'all. Like we're in this together. So how are we actually acting in accordance to, you know, these sacred principles and all the truths that you learned and all that stuff? How are you putting that, you know, back into the you and I verse when you and I converse? And we're able to build each other up and, you know, get some positivity out of it, right? And not get caught up in the negative feedback loops and all that stuff that keep things stagnant. Because, you know, like this, the truth movement ain't really moving. Where's it going type of thing, you know? Like, seems to be all over the map and people are, you know, still hung up on and care so much about what other people eat and all these things. And,
It's like that. That need to police others, I keep noticing within these different groups. Like people want to come out and like call out other people and say, "Oh, you shouldn't be talking because you're, you know." It's like, wow, that's really going to be a slow way for us to progress as if it is a movement. You know, can you imagine if the evildoers did that constantly? You know, they wouldn't be so much problem for us, you know, if they were just constantly fighting with each other and they couldn't organize. And how would they be able to mind control the public, you know? Yeah, so we kind of have to, I mean, I don't know how it works in the deeper recesses of evil, but maybe they just kill each other when they disagree. I don't know.
I think it's cutthroat. And
maybe it's cutthroat,
but
you know.
And I do respect, you know, holding one accountable and this and that, but there's proper ways to do it and approaches and all that jazz, you know. It's like, in the end, you know, we're people in the community, we don't necessarily know each other all that great, you know. We might have like 100 mutual friends, but, you know, we never met them in real life, that kind of stuff, and we might not even had like a full discussion. So we don't know their nuances, where they're coming at, like kind of like their mind state and all these other factors that a lot of people just throw out the window because we're engaged in something that, you know, is challenging truth and what they, you know, that whole cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things to consider.
Yeah, cyclical. So what's the takeaway, I guess, you know?
The takeaway is we got to keep on this humble path. We learn things every day. We can grow and, you know, ripple that out for others and strengthen, you know, the bonds that we have with people. And consider reconciliation, keeping that open mind, open heart, and I guess open door for discussion. But yeah, there's going to be levels of toxicity or you know, people that are not going to be worthwhile to engage in, and you know, sort of like, you know, redeem something from this, you know, fallout or disagreement and stuff. And some people are going to take it the wrong way, and you know, all we can do is say, like,
I guess I would say
all we can do, but you know, there's,
you know, it's easy to get really cynical and critical.
Yeah.
And like, especially, okay, a lot of us have studied Mark Cassia's work. He can be very critical and cynical, and that I see that kind of attitude pervasive in a lot of people, and I understand why. I have it in myself, because it sometimes it feels like we're totally outnumbered with people in the world that just don't seem to really care about the things that we see as so important. And so a lot of the battle of being a truth speaker is not letting that, for me, not letting that control the narrative of what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do specifically is encourage people to go down that path of thinking things out, of asking all the difficult questions, and which takes bravery and courage and a willpower and initiative. And it's a lot to ask of anyone, because it's a scary path. But it's what I am encouraging people to do, because there is a lot of gain in that path. As a human being, as where you sit with your soul in this world, but you can't force anyone down that path, otherwise you're just as bad as the evildoers trying to coerce people and bend their arm and saying, oh, this is what you should, how you should live, this is how you should eat.
You like know. Forcing a horse to drink water, man? Right. What the hell? Yeah. And then the horses are all drunk and stuff and confused, stumbling around. And
galloping in the wrong directions. You can take a horse to water, you know. That's the saying, and it's true. You know, we cannot make people drink. We can offer the avenues, the directions, the way showers. Mm-hmm. And the better we can illustrate the way and show the path, how do we have a reasonable discussion? How do we draw a reasonable conclusion? How do we think things out in a way that's logical and yet intuitive, you know?
Yeah, totally. And we just got to keep on persevering, like that chat we had with the wars. But along this path, we just like growing up and doing whatever, like I think I mentioned this earlier in the recording, but anything we do, whether good or bad, like someone's going to be talking shit about it or possibly praising it or whatever. And as long as we stay more within that, you know, compass of the heart-based intelligence, that's really aligned to, you know, these core universal principles, the easier it's gonna be for us. And if we really refine that and be able to, you know, portray it to others, it'll be less abrasive, I suppose. But and we're gonna be able to deal with, you know, the hecklers and whatnot better, I guess, you know, because we're standing firm within the pillars of enlightenment and the gnosis of self and all this stuff. So that foundation is not easily like shooken, if you will.
Shaken, right? Destroyed, right? Stands on its own.
Yeah.
I think your work stands on its own, and glad we've got it out there.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.